Please. Richard A. Moore versus the Muncie Fire and Police Commission.
If it pleases the court, my name is Michael Sutherland, and I'm representing Mr. Richard Moore. Mr. Moore was a volunteer firefighter responding to an ad in the Muncie paper for openings on the fire department. He wanted to be a firefighter all his life. At that point in time, the ADEA was in effect, and states throughout the country and local governmental agencies could not impose restrictions on any potential applicant based upon age. He began his application process on May 1st, completed the application process on September 23rd, 1996. Following that, President Clinton signed into law a bill which took effect September 30th, 1996. The state scheme in Indiana authorizes the state PERF board, that is Public Employees Retirement Fund, to administer the Firefighters and Police Fund under a 1977 fund document. They were entrusted with reconciling between 1993 and 1996 the inconsistencies in federal law and state law. There's a well-established principle of administrative law and case law that administrative bodies are often charged with looking at inconsistencies both within the state statutory scheme, regulatory scheme, and the federal scheme. The state law had never been modified. As we know, state legislatures are often crossing the street without looking both ways, and in this particular case, they chose to stay on the sidelines and not do anything when ADEA was passed. Hence, they were accepting applicants both for police and firemen throughout the state from city and county authorities. What the defendants did in their motion for summary judgment was to simply say there wasn't, in fact, a meeting of the minds. There wasn't this acceptance of the PERF interim policy. And that's simply not true. A lawyer for the Muncie Merit Board, and I emphasize Merit Board because it's not a political screening committee. As we all know historically, Merit Boards were created so that people with the qualifications, without reference to any political affiliation, could apply and pursue a career of their choice in law enforcement or firefighting without regard to any duty owing to a party or political office. The Muncie Police and Fire Merit Commission accepted his application and processed it. And when there was a dispute about what to do with the people who had applied during that interim, they directed their attorney, Joe Speech, to contact the PERF board and to clarify this. It is worth noting that Joe Speech is the attorney for the Merit Board and the Police Pension Board and the Fire Pension Board of Muncie. In a letter from Mr. Webb, drafted by a state attorney, which had a little bit of everything for both sides, I'll concede that. He's a lawyer, after all. And so what he did was...
Well, that's nice.
Well, what he did was he created an ambiguity. But the ambiguity apparently was resolved because Joe Speece, acting on that letter, advised the Merit Board that, yes, we'll put Mr. Moore back on the list because of this interim policy, he has at least appeared to satisfy the preliminary requirements. He's back on the board. I liken this, if you will, to a sports basketball game in which the clock is stopped, the referee looks at the instant replay, makes the call, and starts the clock back again.
How about the pension board requirement?
The pension board has a single requirement, and that is to offer this baseline test and then accept that medical record and pass it on to the state PERF board. And what they
don't they have an age limit in it?
Their rule and regulation, their bylaws, which were in effect at the time, had no rule or regulation limitation. They had amended it in response to the federal law. And contrary, it was simply a lie. In their minutes in which they rejected Mr. Moore on, and we have that on, I think it's tab 7, the summary judgment, their minutes of December 1, 1998, refer to paragraph 13 in the bylaws. Paragraph 13 says all you have to do is be 21. They were referring to, ingenuously, a previous set of bylaws which had been repealed and amended by the 1995 bylaws. So what happened was, Mr. Moore is doing what he's told to do. At this time, he doesn't even have counsel. He's just getting things, trying to get him straightened out. But when he goes to the pension board, the local pension board, he's told, we're not following the state directive. We're not following the advice of our attorney. We're not following the opinion of Mr. Kuchling, who was the secretary of the local pension board. We're going to vote by majority rule, and you're not going to get proceed with your application.
But didn't they say that he had to be under 36?
Well, they said that, but
isn't it a fact that they didn't accept it?
They didn't accept the application. Now, by comparison, there was another individual, Mr. Ron Locke, went through the same process. He was 45 years old. He went through the merit board, the same merit board that Mr. Moore did. But there are split pension boards. Mr. Joe Spieth advised both the pension boards and the merit board. Mr. Locke, applying during that window of opportunity, is 45 years old. My client was only 36.
So one board took him, the other one didn't take him.
Well, but see, the appeal...
That's a matter of their discretion, isn't it?
Well, it isn't discretion. That's right. That's a good point, Judge. It is not their discretion.
I said it is.
I know, and I'm saying I'm disagreeing with that, respectfully,
of course.
It is not up to their discretion. If you look at the application process, they have one thing to do, and that is, during this interim period, they were supposed to offer this baseline medical application form. And in fact, they did that, but they also notified him that they were not going to accept it. So he was frustrated because under the rules of procedure, had they accepted it, then it would have gone to the state board for review, and rightly or wrongly, they would have considered all the inconsistencies that may have been raised in the letter by Mr. Webb, and they would have resolved it. And then he would have had a right to appeal under the AAA, the Administrative Adjudication Act. As it was, he couldn't go into court under the AAA because he was not approved to proceed by the pension board. There is no conflict in federal law.
What did he actually have during the transition period in terms of a unconditional offer of employment?
He had a conditional offer of employment as was defined, at least in one part of the letter, by Mr. Webb, who was authorized to write that letter, by the PERF board in response to questions raised by Joe Spieth, the attorney for the merit board and the pension board. In response to that letter, Mr. Spieth says, put him back on the list. That's the way I read it, and that's what they did. But without any authority whatsoever, the pension board, contrary to their own investigation through Mr. Tupling, the secretary treasurer, chose to act independently, and we think politically. And that's the very thing we're supposed to protect. I want to save a couple minutes, if I may, for rebuttal.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Dane Tubergen, Fort Wayne, Indiana. I represent the City of Muncie Fire and Merit Commission and Pension Board personnel in this case.
Let me ask you just right off.
Sure.
If he had been offered and accepted a position of employment during this period of time when Indiana could not enforce the 35-36 age limit, then there wouldn't be any attempt by Indiana to remove him from the job. Your position, as I understand it, is that during this interim period, during his little window of opportunity, as counsel referred to it, whatever he received was not a significant, was not an entitlement to the job.
Your Honor, that's the case in a nutshell. He did not receive any offer of employment, conditional or otherwise, during that window of opportunity.
And had he, and you concede that had he received that, then even though his hiring would have been contrary to Illinois law, it would have been, Illinois law would have been unenforceable because of the Federal Age Discrimination Act that applied during that period.
Indiana law.
Indiana.
What about that? Illinois.
At least I didn't say Wisconsin.
If he had been hired, if he had been hired during the time that Congress had prohibited the states from imposing the age limits, and before it repealed that, then I think it would have been a fait accompli. He would have been hired, and Indiana would not have sought his dismissal, because when he was hired, he would have been lawfully hired. What was the purpose of Congress in making the act retroactive if it wasn't to eliminate pending applications for one reason? The law is clear in Indiana. In order to be appointed as a firefighter, you must be a member of the 1977 fund, a pension fund, and in order to be a member of the pension fund, you must not be older than 35 years of age when you're first when you first apply for admission. And that law was never changed, and when Congress repealed that provision of the ADEA, it made it retroactive so that Indiana's law requiring the age 36 limit was never out of force, given the retroactivity. This whole case, Mr. Moore's entire argument depends upon a misinterpretation, if you will, or a confusing sentence in the letter of the attorney for the 1977 fund. That attorney, in his letter, in his conclusion, well, let me back up. First, the attorney stated what the policy of the board was, and that is individuals who were actively employed by a department or who had received a written conditional offer of employment from the hiring authority on or before September 30 would continue to be processed. In his conclusion, he says, if the individual in question was appointed by the Merit Commission and so notified by the chief on or before September 30, 1996, or if the individual had completed all steps in the application process before September 30, then he goes on and says, then he would be qualified. That's a very confusing statement. It's contradictory to everything else in the letter. I think it can be cleared up in two ways. Page 43 of the appendix, where the attorney, Mr. Webb, recites the department's policy. He also says on that page, in the second paragraph from the bottom, in the middle of it, with respect to the situation in Muncie, PERF, Public Employees Retirement Fund, does not want to deviate from its practice of permitting the local hiring authority to determine when a conditional offer of employment has been made. So, first, the PERF attorney is not trying to impose a condition or a definition of conditional offer of employment, because it's PERF's policy to allow the local hiring authority to make that determination. He was only reciting what he thought might be Muncie's policy at the very best. And the second thing about that is that the appellant, Mr. Moore, had not completed all of the steps of his application process anyway, even under his own proposed asserted position. He had not completed all the steps of his application. He had not yet made the eligibility list. He had passed the physical, agility, the written test, and had had an interview a week before the deadline of September 30, 1996. But then there is a separate state agency that compiles all these test results and then compiles a list. That had not yet been done. So he hadn't gone through that step. And most significantly, there was not an opening. There was not a position available for him.
No, in both of those cases, that's not something he can control as far as the application is.
But that's true. He cannot control that.
Well, if he'd have completed all the steps, and even though there wasn't a position available, it would have been promised the next one. I don't know if you have a list of customers. Then that would have been an entitlement, wouldn't it?
He would have been on a waiting list.
He would have been on a waiting list. There would have been no promise of employment. A promise of employment, according to...
Assuming he was on that waiting list and he turned 37, would he have been eligible, even though he had been approved?
I think not.
Even though the pension board had approved him?
Pension board would not approve him until a vacancy...
If he had, we're assuming if all of that was in order.
You mean during that window of opportunity?
Right.
Yes, then I think he probably would be hired, because when he was hired, it was lawful.
Right. That's all I'm asking.
But my misunderstanding raised an interesting point, and that is, had we not had any of this problem with the Congress changing the law, if he was 35 when he made his application to a fire department, but they didn't need anybody for a year and a half, and he turned 37 going on 38, he would no longer be eligible.
Even though he had been approved earlier.
Sure. And his application would not have been submitted to the pension board until a vacancy appeared, the commission appointed him, and the fire chief gave him a written conditional offer of employment. The policy of the pension board of trustees to try to manage this interim period, we think, is contrary to Indiana law, at least insofar as the appellants are wanting to interpret it. We think that a pension board cannot create a policy that is contrary to Indiana law, so that policy has to be interpreted in a way consistent with Indiana law. And the only way to do that is to cut off the right to, not the right, but the, yes, the right to be appointed if you satisfy the requirements of the law when they no longer apply. I don't have anything else, Your Honor, so
thank you, Counsel.
Chairman, thank you.
Okay. The appellee made reference perhaps to the key point. The hiring authority is the merit board, not the pension board. The hiring authority is the merit board. The merit board hired him based upon their advice, the advice given to their attorney, and the interpretation of the interim policy. Now, let me go back to a question that was raised, I think, by the judge. Judge Evans, if, let's just say, you don't have to worry about the process of whether or not the window of opportunity exists. You're 35 years old, and you're completing all the application processes, and all of a sudden, your birthday is coming up, and they won't process it. And you know why? Because the chief says, I don't want you on here, and I got a good way to kill you. And so I'm not going to let the list be promulgated. Under that set of circumstances, he would be kicked out if you apply the law as the appellees would say it. But the reason it violates due process is the applicant does everything he's supposed to do. And that's the reason that's considered a conditional offer of employment. The promulgation of the listing is simply a clerical or administrative function. If it were left up to them to promulgate the rule or the list, then they could hold that open for a year until several people's birthdays come and go. What did happen here is that the law was inconsistent. The state law was inconsistent with the federal law for 3 years. And they had to do something to reconcile it. They had to decide whether the shot was in the air, using another sports metaphor. And if it was, it counts. And that's what they did with Mr. Moore.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you both. The court will take the case under advisement. Proceed.